Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Third hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 and 106.3, the game, Nashville app for the Hillside Medical Game Studio. And we are very excited to bring in our friend who joins us every Friday at 8 a.m. And today he's got a lot of analysis and information and probably a little bit tired right now after covering Titans, Ravens last night in Baltimore. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. TD, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Are you back yet? Or are you en route?
I'm leaving BNA right now.
BNA. Okay. Good. So you're
early flight.
Back in Nashville. Yeah, 6:10 a.m. You got to do that now because you know how these flights are, man. You get canceled if you do a lower one. Plus, had to get back in time for Vrabel.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. So speaking of Vrabel, you and I know Jimmy and Ben and Buck, I think that's the not a big crew at the game last night. A lot of questions from all of you about Malik Willis. I did find that, you know, Vrabel's in first blush analysis of his night was a little different than, you know, a lot of fans. But what did you think of that, Vrabel's reaction, and just what is your overall takeaway from what Malik did last night in his first big opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, there were opportunities for him to throw the football, but I think he made the most of what he had to work with. And it's just one of those things where he has to continue to progress. And his reads and things like that, those are things that he's making. He just has to believe it and throw it. But to take him out because he didn't throw the football, you know, I kind of question that. And ironically, the very next play, Logan Woodside scrambled. So, you know, something must not have been there.
Yeah, and of course, well, you just hit on, well, I'm sure you're not surprised, TD. Basically, the entire show has been about that. Has been about Willis. Has been about Woodside. That's what I figured. That's what it's been. It's what people want to talk about. So I'll ask you. I think we've all talked about, look, Woodside right now, pretty clearly the two, Willis the three. It's a long process. After last night, not just what Willis did, but what Woodside did, do you feel any differently about the idea that Malik Willis could possibly take that number two job?
Yeah, I think eventually it's something that he could take, but to me it seems like they're trying to make sure that they slow cook Malik Willis. They want him to really continue to develop. So that's the way I look at that situation. And I know we look at the two interceptions and say Woodside played terribly, but if you go back and look at the interceptions a little bit more closely, Mason Kinsey, he could have helped Woodside a little bit by working his way back to the football on that one interception. And for Godwin, listen, as a receiver, when you make a commitment, you got to commit to it, right? So he made the move outside and then made the move back inside. And Woodside, I guarantee you, was thinking that he was going to stay on track right inside as opposed to going back outside. You can't do that to your quarterback. You confuse him. So I don't know that I put those interceptions off Woodside. He did say after the game that he wished he had that Godwin throw back, but I can understand why he did that.
Teron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Teron, I was talking about this with Joe before you came on when we were taking a break from the backup quarterback discussion, and I said I was hoping to see a little bit more from Treylon Burks last night. Now, of course, you know, the quarterback play did have something to do with maybe his limited touches. But I would be curious for your opinion of what you saw from Treylon Burks in his first NFL game and just your general impressions of Burks, because there has been a lot of social media discourse about his performance so far in training camp, and I trust your opinion a lot more than others on this topic, so I'd love to hear what you have to say about Burks' game last night and his camp overall.
Yeah, he only had one target, and you would like to see him come down with that football. It was a contested catch. Woodside said he was just giving him a chance to make a play. I thought Willis should have targeted him a few more times. There were some opportunities, but it's easy for me to say that, not having, you know, defensive linemen bearing down on me or a blitzing safety or something along those lines. So I get it. But Burks overall, he's been able to stack some good days. Exactly sure, you know, what some of the social media stuff was trying to get at, because he has worked with Ryan Tannehill. He's not some backup or anything like that. He's in the rotation, in the mix, and they're working an assortment of receivers with Tannehill. And I like the way Burks has bounced back. He told me he lost 6 pounds after minicamp, you know, going into training camp, and there haven't been any issues whatsoever as far as the conditioning is concerned. And he seems to be on top of the asthma. So he stacked some good days of practice. I don't see there being any issue. And I'm really totally against a lot of the stuff that they've said on social media. This is incorrect.
Well, we had Mike Hernan on yesterday. And of course, he's the guy who unwittingly started that, you know, with his tweet. He basically tweeted out one play, and then, what is it, Roto World all of a sudden goes to, he's only working with the twos and threes based on like one. I mean, it was pretty bad, pretty bad. Yeah, then that spreads to, you know, all kind. It's amazing how this stuff can spread like wildfire, and it's just wrong, you know. And the tweet was fine by Hernan, but then it just takes a total left turn. So, TD, last night we did get to see Dylan Radins gets the start. He's with the ones OL, which wasn't really the ones OL, but you did have Aaron Brewer at center for Ben Jones, Jamarco Jones in at left guard, and then Nicholas Petitfrere comes in. I know, you know, you're covering a game, you're in the press box. It's not like you've been able to go through each snap yet, but your first impressions of both of those guys and where you think that competition is right now.
Yeah, I really have to. That's something I have to go back and see. To be honest with you, I like to watch that tight end zone view to really see offensive line play before I make a definitive statement on it. I think it's still a competition, though, and it's that position, the right tackle position, is actually more of a competition than the left guard position. And coming into camp, I thought it was going to be the opposite, but Aaron Brewer has done a really good job just, you know, earning the trust and respect of the head coach, but also Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, well, no doubt. And I guess I wasn't sure, but I thought both would be some level of competition. I think one of them very much is, one of them isn't. And then there's the corner possible competition. Unfortunately, Roger McCreary nicked up a little bit, so didn't play. I think he would have played a fair amount. Well, I think Elijah Molden would have played a fair amount too. We did get to see Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton briefly. I thought it was an encouraging night. You know, Farley gave up, you know, maybe a completion or two. I thought he had a really good series with a physical tackle. Then he comes up. He's on Victor. He get really good. That's exactly where Huntley wanted to go on that play, and he locked him up. What did you think just of that brief glimpse of Farley? And what about Farley playing on like kickoff coverage? That was a bit surprising to me last night.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get the reps. They're going to get that. And you see the corners, you know, a lot of times they get mixed in. Maybe not your starters, but I was a little surprised by that. Punt coverage, punt return, I wasn't. Now, as far as Farley, I like the fact, and this is the thing that I've been watching and trying to see him show some improvement, is when they run those curls and comebacks and those type of things where he has to transition out of his pedal and close on the football. And that's something that we saw Treylon Burks get him on some of those. Racy McMath got him on one. Kyle Phillips as well. So to see progress from there is good. And just to have that change of direction and be comfortable with that knee. I talked to him after the game about that, you know, getting that comfort level back to where it's second nature and you're able to you know, change direction like he did on that pass attempt to Victor that you were talking about, where he forced the quarterback to chuck it down, and that led to, if I'm mistaken, a sack. So I think he played well. He's going to tell you that he wants to get better, and that's natural. And I think with him, you got to be patient because he's only played, 26 games at cornerback going back to 2018.
Talking to TD, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, talking with TD, podcast. So, TD, let's go back on Farley. Going back to, right after he was drafted, I remember a conversation with you, and your question on it was, obviously, the traits are there, right? I mean, it basically comes down to how you feel about the medical. Some teams felt differently than others. But your question was, one thing about him is obviously very twitchy athlete. And does that come back? Like, will he be that twitchy? Do you feel now that we've seen him for a few weeks here and clearly he had a good, he got stronger and all that stuff. Do you see that twitchiness?
No, it's not. It's not back, and he'll admit that it's not back. And it's going to take time, So that's just one of those things where, like I said yesterday, it's a patience thing. You gotta have some patience with him, and especially coming off the injury, the ACL. You're gonna have a little bit of a drag.
So anything else from last night? I think we've hit on the things that look. It's a lot of this is coaches are evaluating individuals, and some of it is really like bottom of the roster and practice squad stuff. I mean, just about everybody got in last night. I did find it interesting, TD, that Julius Chestnut started. I don't want to make too much of that. I mean, he's looked good. He's looked good in camp. He looked good last night other than the fumble. Anything else from last night that you think something different about a player than you did going into the game, a player who could matter for the Titans this year?
Yeah, you know what, David Anaya.
Yeah,
that's how you pronounce his name.
He was good.
He's a pure pass rusher. That's what he does. He came off the edge on those consecutive plays. He had that sack and then the strip sack. And I talked to him a little bit about just being able to focus on rushing the passer as opposed to having to process every. Okay, I got to drop. I got to do this. I got to do that. If they do this, I have to. He was able on those plays to just rush the passer, and he showed that he's a natural at doing that. So I'm going to watch him a little bit more over the next couple weeks. I'm not sure if he makes the roster, but if he can manage to get in the mix, then that would be a really good, like I said, pure pass rusher for him.
Yeah, very interesting. Maybe a practice squad developmental type situation there, and they've been able to find guys like Naquan Jones and Tier Tart and so forth on defense in recent years. Teron Davenport, TD, thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate you coming on. Get a little caffeine, and we'll see you at Vrabel later.
All right. I'll see you. See you this afternoon.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. When we come back on Robbie and Rexel, we will react to TD and talk a little bit about Titans who showed out last night or maybe gave a little glimpse of what may be coming in the future. .1025/106.3 The Game, bringing you Nashville's best coverage of the Titans training camp, presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. And you can watch Robbie and Rex Road streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Talking Titans, of course, talking preseason loss, which I continue to forget the final score, 23-10. Is that what it was?
It doesn't even matter.
23-10. Those Baltimore Ravens, my goodness, they are incredible in the preseason. I will say, the Baltimore Ravens, Huntley, Brown, they're not like decent backups. Decent backups.
They have Huntley and Hundley.
They do. They have Huntley and Hundley. Didn't see a lot of regulars for either team last night, of course.
I think Huntley was like 16 for 18 or something like that.
Huntley was 16 for 18, 109 yards, and a touchdown. Bridges for them, 4 for 62, had the TD. over Chris Jackson. By the way, someone on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, asked earlier about Chris Jackson's injury. No word on that. He did limp off. He got beat for that, for one of those touchdowns by Bridges in the end zone. Actually got kind of picked on two plays in a row, the play to set that up and then the touchdown. Didn't have a great night. I would say, you know, hasn't had a great camp. He's a reliable vet, and it's just, look, this is where the Titans, I mean, I think that position group, I think receiver and cornerback are true here, but the position group of corner was the biggest question when it comes to starters, of course, on the defense. And Chris Jackson, to answer the question, I don't know the status of the injury. He was able to limp off. I'm guessing it's nothing too serious. But the thing about Chris Jackson is, and he's been it's a great story, you know, seventh round pick in 2020. He's played a lot of football for the Titans. I think he's gonna make the team, but I think he's gonna not play probably a lot of football this year for the Titans, barring a bunch of injuries. Because right now they got a top four that I would argue is as promising going into a season, and certainly the value, because everybody is on a rookie deal, is tremendous. You know, Roger McCreary, unfortunately, didn't get to see him last night. He's got something, but he's been good in camp. I like the pick so far based on the information we have. I like how he plays. I like his feet, speed, aggressiveness. He makes up for, you know, the short arms. That was the knock on him coming out of Auburn. He's a good player. Farley, we talked with TD last segment a little bit about that. You know, Farley, maybe the twitch isn't bad. He's gotten better, and he's better than I would have guessed at this point. Molden, we have barely seen. But so when a guy is on a bike, as Molden has been, that basically tells you that we're not talking about, I mean, it's, of course, and also when he's still on the active roster, we're not talking about some huge problematic injury, but some of these things take a couple weeks. It was 2 weeks ago today that Molden got hurt in the indoor, kind of limped off. We haven't seen him since, but I think he's going to be fine. So Molden, McCreary, Farley, Fulton, who, by the way, Fulton has got to pick it up. I would say he hasn't had a great camp, and he got stiff-armed last night, but Fulton played a lot of football, a lot of good football last year for the Titans, so you feel like you're pretty good there. That's a good quartet, potentially. Potentially quite good, very young, but, you know, if Chris Jackson slides in next as your veteran depth guy at the five spot who can go inside or outside, you feel pretty good about that. And then Shakur Brown, by the way, you saw him some last night. He's been a little bit of a camp story. But that position group, if it's going to be good, you tell me, Adam, how good is this defense going
to
be?
I was just about to ask you that same question. I was going to say, where do you think this defense as a whole ranks league-wide? What do you think the potential is? Where do you think they could end up?
Oh, I think the potential is clear top five in the league. And look, I'm saying that while missing a whole bunch of information. Every single camp, there's some outside linebacker, there's some safety corner, D tackle, who's like, ooh, how good could this D be now, right? I mean, this is what happens this month. But some of the outside, and we've talked about it on the show a few times, some of these like national rankings of the Titans defense are actually astound me. The whole like media hates us, all that stuff, that stuff is overblown.
I'm looking at
the view of the Titans defense by a lot of NFL media to me is actually a little bit embarrassing.
To that point, because I was thinking, okay, what's one way we could easily look up how a defense stacks up? You know, and the first thing I thought was, let's go look at some fantasy rankings for defense / special teams units. So I pulled up ESPN's, and they have they list the top 20, and the Titans aren't even on it.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of that, and it's hard for me to.
They have the Colts as the fifth best defensive unit fantasy wise.
Yeah, well, fantasy wise, that's.
I know
thing.
Fantasy is. It's not. It's fantasy. That's why it's fantasy football. But I feel like it's a good composite of how a defense could operate. So the top five defenses according to ESPN's ranking of fantasy defense slash special teams units. Buffalo, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, San Francisco, Indianapolis.
Okay.
That's your top five.
Yeah, and well, the thing is, even if you're, yeah, so from a fantasy perspective, Titans, their last time they played football, they had 9 sacks. That helps you in fantasy football.
Right.
It's a little bit bizarre because Kevin Byard's a known commodity. Jeffrey Simmons is a known commodity. Harold Landry just had a very good year. I guess people could look at Bud Dupree's lack of production last year and
Autry.
Look at that. Yeah, Danico Autry was underrated last year. He's been underrated in his entire – well, see, there now you're hitting on some of the answers. David Long, I think no one in the NFL knows who he is and thinks that that's – that's why mock drafts had the Titans take an inside linebacker all over the place. So it's like, why? They have a good starting duo in Cunningham and Long, but he's one of the answers, but it still doesn't excuse when you look at all those other known commodities – why you'd feel that way. But corner would be another one that was absolutely a question coming into camp. And I'm not saying it's been answered definitively at this point, but there are things that are trending in a good direction. You got to get those guys in the field. However, you got to keep that in mind too, like Molden, but especially, you know, McCreary, you hope he's not out long. If you're the Titans, you hope Farley holds up. But that's the thing. If you're putting Farley on kickoff and punt and he's out there just playing tackle football, then obviously you feel good about where he is coming off the ACL, where he is with the back. I wasn't sure. I thought maybe just because of his history that the Titans might be a little bit more careful with him last night. But no, they're like, you've got to play football. You got to get ready because they're going to lean on him. And he's going to have his issues this year. He's going to get burned at times this year. He's going to give up plays. I think that overall he can be pretty solid over there. And if you have that on both sides with Fulton and Farley, and he is solid for a full year, then you got those two guys that I think that's where McCreary's best chance. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe McCreary can actually make a run at Farley's spot on the outside. I'd be surprised. But that's a pretty good group. And if that's solid, yeah, it's a top five defense.
It comes back to what we were talking about earlier this week with the under 25 rankings and how that particular list mentioned Treylon Burks as the only quote-unquote blue chip prospect, and the author did mention Farley and McCreary and Molden, but there are still question marks. They're young, they've been injured, so this season will go a long way, I am sure, in I think getting the Titans a little bit more recognition defensively, because there are questions. There is the youth back there, but it could be good. Could be very good.
Yeah, well, look, they're the defense is built right now to keep the score down on a lot of Sundays. I'd say the majority of Sundays in a high-scoring offense league. We'll see if that's how it plays out, but that's what it looks like. And, again, corner has definitely helped the outlook for me, at least in my opinion. When we come back, we got more reaction from folks who were at the game last night. This is Ben Arthur from the Tennessean coming up next. Robbie and Rex are at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex. I'm letting these songs play too long. Sorry. I apologize. Big show tonight. Big show tonight at Nissan Stadium. But right now, got a big guest who was in a different stadium last night in Baltimore, Maryland, and watched the Titans lose to the Ravens. And now we're going to get his thoughts. Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. Ben, how are you?
Joe, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're okay, possibly better rested than you. Were you on the TD 6:10 a.m. flight home?
Was, and it was kind of a mess, too, because there was, we went through the BWI airport, and, as soon as I came in with Buck, and as soon as, we came in, the alarms were going off, there were, no lines for pre-check and regular security, it was just kind of a mess, and so the plane ended up kind of waiting for us because half the plane was delayed kind of getting through security, and so it was just kind of a hectic morning. I didn't even sleep, actually, I'm kind of running on fumes right now, but I'm pushing through.
See, now I feel bad. You should be sleeping right now. Oh, man.
It's fine. I'll sleep this weekend.
Well, this is it's a preseason for media too, getting ready for the travel, and man, the flight situation. I'm a little bit sketchy on how that's going to go some this year. But all right, well, we will plow through. I appreciate you coming on here, Ben. So, as you may imagine, so much of our show today has been devoted to backup quarterback discussion. I think that's the hot topic, so to speak, after this game. Malik Willis, yeah. I think, with some encouraging things. Still a ton to work on. Logan Woodside with a pretty bad night. Some other factors involved there, but pretty not great. So I asked TD this. I asked you the same question. Your thoughts on the number two quarterback, the possibility for Malik Willis to compete for that. I think all of us are probably on the same page that it's a long shot. Woodside is probably going to be the two. Do you think any differently? Do you think the door has been cracked open at all by what you saw last night?
I kind of hesitate because it is just kind of one preseason game, and you kind of have to think about Woodside's kind of resume, so to speak, with the Titans, how much faith they have in him, have had in him over the last couple years, how well he knows the offense, how much the Titans sort of tout that, and he did have a bad game, right? But I don't think one game kind of changes his status as QB2. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Malik can kind of beat him out for that backup, at least kind of eat into some of those snaps. But I think as of right now, just based off one preseason game, I'm not going to kind of go fully on board there. I think, as you mentioned, Malik did have some encouraging signs. I think, honestly, what he showed us was a lot of what he's done in training camp. I don't think we saw anything new. We saw some of the good. We saw his uniqueism, kind of that special playmaking type ability, kind of one or two wow moments. And then we also saw the timing issues, the accuracy issues, kind of the hesitancy with the decision making and whatnot. And so with all those things considered, I think Logan Woodside is still your number two, that the Titans are still going to kind of keep three quarterbacks right now. But there is kind of a lot left in the preseason between the last two exhibition games and the joint practices. So, but if you're asking me now, I don't think much has changed in the Titans' eyes.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think basically the difference, even if you're a fan who watched all those practices, right? I mean, the one difference is they're not trying to tackle him here. You blow the whistle, you break the pocket. In this, okay, tackle him. And so then he has an opportunity to have that great cutback and the touchdown and leave a, first-round pick on the ground. Stuff like that is exciting, I think. And some of his throws are exciting, but yeah, still a long way to go. And I'm with you. I think it's a long shot right now that he might actually get the two. Other big things from last night, Ben. And again, I know it's not like you've been able to study, Dylan Radins, Petit Frere, and how they played. But I just thought at first blush both were more good than bad. You have to take into account who they're blocking. Where do you think that competition is?
Yeah, I think Dylan Radins is still in front at right tackle. I'd say he's still kind of the front runner. Obviously, he started the game, and then Petit Frere was at left tackle. And I know that Petit Frere, I think, with the second unit that he played some right tackle. And I thought he had he did some good things when he was at right tackle too, right? Like, if you remember that long run by Julius Chestnut, that 29-yarder was with Petit Frere kind of holding, kind of doing his job on the right side. And so, you know, again, kind of like you said, I think there was definitely probably more good than bad. Without having gone through the game film yet, I'd still kind of say Dylan Radins is the front runner there. But I think from what we've seen from Petit Frere, especially in these last several training camp practices into this preseason game, that he's definitely going to be a guy that the Titans can depend on. And I think he can play some guard too, in addition to being a swing tackle. And we know how much the Titans kind of love that versatility. So that's kind of something I'm thinking about with those guys.
Ben Arthur of the Tennessean joining us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ben, let's fast forward a few days next week. The Titans and Tampa Bay Buccaneers are scheduled to have joint practices at St. Thomas Sports Park. Of course, we learned yesterday that Tom Brady will not be taking part, so maybe a little luster has been taken off of those joint practices. But what will you be watching most closely as the Titans go head-to-head with the Buccaneers at practice?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, kind of with what we're kind of discussing with Malik Willis and kind of handling kind of game atmosphere, kind of dealing with new coverages for the first time, pressure, kind of all the things that come with playing quarterback, like what that's going to look like for him going up against a really strong Bucs front that has Vita Vey and Joe Tryon, kind of guys like that. You know, I'm obviously going to be looking for him, kind of the progress, seeing if he's kind of made progress. Honestly, even though Tom Brady isn't going to be practicing, I'm kind of interested to see kind of how the secondary kind of shakes out. I think what's kind of underrated is kind of Chris Jackson going down with a knee injury. And at this point, we don't know what the deal is with him. And Elijah Molden has missed 7 straight training camp practices. Imani Hooker has missed the last couple training camp practices. Roger McCreary has missed 2 of the last 3 training camp practices and didn't play in the game last night. So kind of what the secondary looks like, honestly, is and kind of how they perform against, you know, some good receivers like Mike Evans. I'm actually not sure if Chris Godwin.
Yeah, I don't think he's ready yet.
Play. Yeah,
Julio Jones.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to practice? I mean, that's kind of the big thing. But yeah, honestly, that Titans secondary is kind of becoming quite interesting with sort of the injuries stacking up, and then the offensive line kind of holding up. I mentioned the Bucs front. I want to see kind of how Dylan Radins kind of handles that, you know, Aaron Brewer, guys like that, how they kind of compete with those guys in the trenches. And Treylon Burks, he had a, you know, very quiet preseason opener. He just kind of had that jet sweep run for 4 yards, didn't have a catch. How he looks in those one-on-ones with those Bucs DBs is going to kind of be on my radar as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, talking to Ben Arthur in the Tennessean. Last thing for you, Ben. I'm with you on all that. Also, I'm very interested to see if a guy who I think I'm ready to declare, like, this is not a mirage. I think this is the real thing. But next week we'll be telling as well. Rayson McMath, is he going to keep playing the way he's playing and just beating people? I mean, he's I don't know, man. You tell me. I think that I really am embracing the idea that he actually can have a role and can make some big plays for this offense. I don't think he's going to be out there a ton, but I think he can do that. Are you with me on that or not?
No, I'm with you, Joe. And it, obviously, it's just been one preseason game, but man, that was a beautiful corner route he ran. For that deep ball from Malik. He's been doing that all training camp, whether it's Christian Fulton on him or Caleb Farley on him. It doesn't really matter who's been on him. He's been able to get open deep, and I think that's something the Titans didn't really have beyond A.J. Brown last season. And so for him to kind of emerge and take those next steps as a pass catcher could be huge. I mean, he could potentially be that fourth receiver. And if you remember, I remember A.J. Brown was kind of saying he kind of has that – he didn't compare him to Julio, but he kind of said he has that upside of a Julio Jones just because of his size. He's like 6'3", 220 with 4'3 speed. And for a while, that has always kind of translated for him on special teams, but we're starting to see him come into his own as a receiver. So I'm really excited to kind of see what his trajectory is going to be. I remember last year talking to his wide receivers coach at LSU and just saying how Racy really held his own, even though he didn't get all the looks because you have Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and guys like that. He never really backed down and they had first and second round corners on that LSU team as well. So I think that offensive potential is starting to get unlocked a little bit, and I think what we're seeing from Racy is confidence, and confidence is a very powerful thing in the NFL, and Ryan Tannehill trusts him. These quarterbacks trust him, so I'm really excited to kind of see where he goes from here.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's been one of the stories of camp. Ben Arthur from the Tennessee, try to get a nap. Can you get a nap in before Vrabel at noon?
Yeah, I have to because I don't think I'll make it if I don't.
All right. Get some rest. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll see you over there.
Guys, all right.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. Absolute trooper.
We need to get him coffee or something.
Yeah, but not now because he's got a nap. A little water, maybe a little warm milk and a nap, and then he'll be at Vrabel later. When we come back, though, we are going to call some shots. Robbie and Rexha, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It's that time. Robbie and Rexrode. Joe Rexrode, Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley. And we're calling some shots. But before we call some shots, of course we have to go back and review last week's shots. I feel like we had a lot of long-term shots. We can still review them though. So let's go to Michelle last week. Treylon Burks will play the first half of the preseason game at Baltimore. And have two touchdowns. He did not have that.
Nope.
He'd have a jet sweep. He had one target. Almost had one touchdown, but did not do that. You got Vanderbilt will cover the spread, beat Hawaii by 7. You got Kentucky will shut out Miami of Ohio week 1. So we got to remember these. You've got the final outcome for Deshaun Watson, who as of now is scheduled to play tonight for the Browns in the preseason. We'll get 8 games. So you're right in the range of where it is right now. That'll be interesting, of course. And so you got the shot that there will be more. You didn't call the shot that the Jaguars are going to move to Chicago, which to me would be one of the funniest things in the history of sports.
No, I did call the shot.
Well, oh, did you? Okay, because I just wrote down there's going to be more reports. You're calling the shot that they're moving to Chicago.
Why not? That's
okay,
so fun.
That is a called shot.
I have zero timeline on it, but let's do it.
Yeah. No, they would be the NFL equivalent of the White Sox in that city, which would be just fantastic. Just a total garbage franchise no one cares about. Hope you're listening, Ryan. Okay, let's see. What were my shots? I said Malik Willis will run for 50-plus yards and a touchdown in his preseason debut. He ran for 38 and a touchdown.
Oh.
Ha, ha, ha. But, I mean, kind of on the right track, right? Kind of on the right track.
But not.
But, yeah. But, okay, but that's closest. That's if this is horseshoes, I'm close. I had Kevin Strong will have 2 sacks in the preseason game. He did play a fair amount. I thought he, you know, looked pretty good. He's looked pretty good in camp. It was one of those late game guy who's still getting a bunch of snaps against a third-string offensive lineman, but didn't happen. And then I had Jordan Wilkins will have 50-plus rushing yards and catch 3-plus passes. I mistakenly thought, because Derrick Henry was never going to play, and I figured Dontrell Hilliard was never going to play, and maybe that Hassan Haskins might be a little bit limited because they're counting on, you know, planning on, you know, using him this year. I thought Wilkins would be the guy who would benefit in the preseason game, but in fact he had 1 carry for minus 3 yards, and he caught 2 passes, caught a couple passes, so I actually was 1 pass off there. But the rushing star was Julius Chestnut, 7 for 44, 29 yarder. Haskins had 6 for 19, but he also, I liked Haskins catching the ball, 3 for 29 last night. Robbie's shots, the Detroit Lions will win 6 football games this year. I don't even know that that's crazy. Like, I can see the Lions going like 6-11. I mean, that's like a shot is 8, Robbie, but he went with 6. Kyle Phillips will have a touchdown against Baltimore. That did not happen. 1 target for him. The Colts will be 1-2 entering the first Titans matchup. So we got to remember that one. And that seems to be what they do sometimes. And then Romeo Doubs will win Offensive Rookie of the Year for the Packers. So there's a big shot we got to remember. So now let's call some shots for this week. Michelle, go ahead.
I would love to go first. Okay. I am revisiting a couple old shots. So the Cincinnati Reds will win less games than the Tennessee Volunteers. The Cincinnati Reds have won 44 games so far. And the Vols won 56 or 57? I have to double check on that.
Yeah, I think 57 I think is right, yeah.
57? Okay. So that was my first shot.
Okay. I love the Cincinnati Red shots.
I do. Love them. Also, shout out Field of Dreams game the other night. And our boy Ryan Porth actually got to be there. So
yes,
that's definitely bucket list for him. Jimmy G will not be on a team week 1 of the NFL season. I think the 49ers will cut him. And I do not think he will be a starting quarterback week 1. Odell Beckham Jr., signs with the Bills.
Whew. Imagine that. If he can get back again from another. But if he can play like he played with the Rams last year.
Him and Von Miller.
Him? Jeez. I've already got them winning it all, so that's a shot.
That would be pretty iconic. The Seattle Storm will win another championship. Sue Bird goes out on top, and honorable mention, her last regular season game, the absolute GOAT the other day.
I like that. That would be very fairy tale-like.
It would. And then finally, last shot. I just found this out yesterday that I'm going to the Cincinnati Open next weekend. Serena Williams will win. She's going out on top, too. Well, I know she has more matches, but she will win. And I am so hype. And I've had people tell me that tennis is not fun to watch, but if Serena Williams is there, oh, yes, it is fun to watch.
What do you mean? You've had people tell you tennis is not fun to watch? Like in person?
Yeah.
Who are these joyless people?
Take a guess.
Ryan? Is it Ryan?
I plead the
fifth. Are we calling out your boyfriend? Let's call out your boyfriend. I say we call him out.
Listen, Coco Gauff. They're all going to be there.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
It's going to be sick. Absolutely. And I will be there, and Serena's going to win. Those are my shots.
I like it. Adam, would you like to go next?
Sure, and I'll keep it short. I have 2 NFL-related preseason/week 1 shots. As we discussed yesterday, the expectation is that Matt Ryan will play the entire first quarter of the Colts preseason game. I believe it's tomorrow. Matt Ryan will throw 2 touchdowns in the first quarter, and there will be breathless commentary and adulation about Matt Ryan in the Colts, which I'm sure will tick off Titans fans. So Matt Ryan throws two touchdowns in his Colts quote unquote debut, and the love fest nationally for the Indianapolis Colts will continue.
Oh well, if the first, if you're shot, if he does that, there is no doubt on the second part of it.
Yes.
Oh, there is no doubt.
And here I go again on my own. The based off the conversation we've had today, we both agree that Logan Woodside probably gives the Titans a better chance not to blow a game if he had to play than Malik Willis. But Malik Willis will show out in these joint practices. He'll play well in the preseason games. And come week one against the New York Giants, he will dress as the backup quarterback for the Tennessee Titans.
Wow. There is a shot. That's quite a shot, and if that happens, we will celebrate your name on Robbie and Rex Show. That's a shot. That's a shot I'm just not willing to take, but I like it. Real quick for mine, I got another opening day one. I'm going to go Nicholas Petitfrere. We'll start at right tackle on opening day. I agree with Ben Arthur that right now Raiden's ahead, and it's going to take some work for him to overtake him. I'm calling the shot that he will. I've got Shakur Brown making the Tennessee Titans active roster. That would be as a sixth corner, I think, because I think Chris Jackson will make the roster too. And I'm not sure they're going to keep six corners, but that's my called shot. And another one, the New England Patriots will go 6-11.
Love that.
Now, we've spent some time this week talking about their horrific offensive showing in practice. They did actually look like a functioning offense last night. So it should be noted. Preseason, no Mac Jones, but one thing you got to keep in mind. You got Brian Hoyer going 5 for 8, 59 yards, a touchdown. Bailey Zappe, Western Kentucky, 19 for 32, 205, and a touchdown. At least they looked like they could run offensive plays. So maybe it's not as dire as it has looked, but I still think they're going to stink out loud and be 6-11. There's a lot of shots on the text line, some of them related to something we want to talk about on the Titans, and we will get to that next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.